In his popular TED Talk, What Reality Are You Creating for Yourself?, former Saved by the Bell teen star turned entrepreneur Isaac Lidsky recalls how the salesperson he waved to in the store was really a mannequin and how he reached down to wash his hands and realized it was a urinal and not a sink. He learned of his diagnosis at 13 of a degenerative eye disease that would lead to his blindness by age 25. After initially believing his blindness signaled the end of his independence and achievement, he found other pathways of perception, turning his life around with his eyes wide open philosophy. He graduated from Harvard Law School. He worked as a law clerk under the guidance of Sandra Day O'Connor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, eventually becoming a successful entrepreneur. His new book is Eyes Wide Open, Overcoming Obstacles and Recognizing Opportunities in a World That Can't See Clearly. Isaac Lidsky probes the many facets of perception, detailing the neuroscience of sight and drawing on his own experience to show how our perception shapes and often limits our reality. It's a great pleasure to welcome Isaac Lidsky to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my privilege.
Very nice to have you on the program. At what point did you realize that you wanted to write about this and really kind of share this philosophy that you have been putting together throughout your life?
So, you know, in a remarkable way, going blind really turned out to be one of the greatest things that ever happened to me because it gave me this empowering and liberating vision. I've long wanted to share that vision with others, and about a couple years ago, my business, the business I currently run as CEO, kind of reached a phenomenal level. My team sort of succeeded beyond my wildest imagination or expectations, and I had a conversation with my wife, and I said, you know what, I'm going to write this book because I really want to share this with folks, among other things. You know, I'm a father of four, and I wanted to put down for them what I've learned, the vision that I've gained, and how it's really brought me immeasurable joy and fulfillment in my life.
With all of these accomplishments and with that joy and fulfillment, did there ever seem a time where that was not the case? I mean, I even read in the introduction, you get this diagnosis at a very, very young age. But even, I mean, by 19, you're graduating from Harvard. So you didn't skip too many beats.
Well, that's interesting. So when I was diagnosed at 13, I knew that blindness was going to ruin my life. I was certain of it. I knew that I would likely never marry because I didn't think I would find a woman who would love or respect me. I was kind of certain I wasn't going to love or respect myself, the man I would become, which meant I wouldn't have children and on, and I thought I'd live this sort of small and unremarkable, sad life. I knew these things. So it was awful. But, you know, I was in a hurry. I was kind of in a race against the clock to try to sort of squeeze as much as I could in, and I was sort of prayed for a rescue by science. I was very eager to support the work of all the scientific researchers trying to cure the disease, and that's I think a big part of why I wound up leaving LA behind, and I started college a couple of weeks after I turned 16 and graduated at 19 and started an internet advertising business and right thereafter. And, you know, yeah, I was in a hurry. I felt this immense pressure.
So being in a hurry and knowing ultimately, was that because you ultimately knew what you wanted to do? I mean, you were in a hurry and it was a focus on what you wanted to do and what you wanted to accomplish till you got to a point where the fact that you couldn't see was beside the point.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, I think it was I'm in a hurry to continue squeezing as much as I can out of my life until this awful fate, until I'm kind of, you know, I've kind of reached the end. And blindness, again, I knew it was going to be this doom and gloom, this conclusion to my joyride. And then in a beautiful way, the disease itself was kind of part of the cure. The insights I gained by losing my sight really, really showed me that everything I thought I knew about blindness was just sort of a fiction born of my fears. It was the manifestation of my fears, and it was lies. And I saw that I was choosing to believe all those awful things, really knowing nothing about going blind or being blind, and having done nothing to take control. So I chose to go in a different direction. I chose to take control of who I am and how I want to live my life.
So talk a little bit about this eyes wide open thinking and philosophy. How did you come to it, and ultimately how did you apply it to advance all of these goals that you just mentioned?
Sure. So you mentioned in your introduction some of the bizarre visual effects that I experienced as I was losing my sight. We think that sight is this thing that is out there. Sight is a passive perception of an objective truth or reality that's kind of out there. That's how we experience sight. That's certainly how I experienced it. The way I lost my sight shattered that illusion. I saw that really the truth is very different. Sight is this experience that's manufactured in the mind. It's a creation of our own making. It's an experience that's impacted by and also impacts all sorts of other things in our experience, our memories, our opinions, our emotions. And by the way, it can be wrong. I literally saw my mind trying to make good guesses based on my experience as to what I was perceiving, and it turned out to be very, very wrong. So there was a moment when I kind of realized that the same was true of my fears about going blind and being blind, that I was in this immersive and very convincing reality that was, again, born of my fears. And then I kind of started to see that dynamic at play, that dynamic at work in many, many facets of our lives. We experience the sort of machinations of our own minds as immutable truths, as sort of circumstances beyond our control. And if we can see through that, if we can become aware of our awesome power, really, to sort of master our own realities, the benefits, the blessings are immense. I've experienced them in my life, and that's why I wrote the book. I mean, the book's not about blindness or disability or challenges, really.
You talk about this a lot in the book, and it's this idea of, because you mention reality a lot, you talk about fiction and reality, and talk to us a little bit about the idea you have of reframing what we fear as fiction, of when you take those fears and circumstances and move beyond that to a reality that is free from that fiction that we have created for ourselves.
Sure. So, I mean, we are wired to predict, to infer, to assume. It's part of the really miraculous functioning of our minds. So, we build up this vast database of experiences that we reason from and kind of make educated guesses. When we confront the unknown in times of change, in times of crisis, almost by definition, we are without experience to reason from, but the mind persists, right? It marches on, sort of filling the void of the unknown, and that's really where fear comes in, and fear kind of fills in the awful for the unknown, and sort of passes off what you dread for what you know. So in terms of breaking fear spell, I talk a lot about it in the book. Obviously, there's a lot of sort of concrete and practical approaches that I've been able to develop over the years in my life. But, a couple things. One is really a zealous focus on the difference between what you know and what you think you know. Because often those two things feel like the same, and they're very, very different. and what you think you know is often not true. So, and then the other sort of piece of concrete advice I'd offer is, in this sort of awfulized reality of our fears, often we perceive heroes and villains out there. We think that there are others we can blame for our experience. We think there's others we can credit or celebrate, and we kind of latch onto those folks. That's really pernicious, because in the process, we kind of sideline ourselves. We take ourselves out of the game, And in this way, our fears really, you know, are self-manifesting. They kind of become our reality. So I made a commitment to myself to really keep a vigilant watch for purported heroes and villains and recognize them as figments of my imagination.
You talk about, as I mentioned, the TED Talk, what reality are you creating for yourself? And you make this distinction between your personal vision and how that grows sharper even as your eyesight diminish. How were you able to reshape that reality and hone what your life goals were going to be and to make that vision fairly concrete?
Sure. So, you know, it was such a liberating and empowering vision for me that I gained. It was such a transcendental kind of a moment in my life as I realized my ability to shape my own reality. And so it really starts in a lot of ways with a critical assessment of what is success, what is value, what do those things look like for me, what's important to me. How do I want to be living my life at work, at home, in my relationships? And I think it's a real shame. Too often we're kind of too busy to think critically about those questions, but they're pretty important questions. You know, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, we're answering them every moment. So I try to put my money where my mouth is, and I thought, and I continue to think daily about those questions. And then the rest is tough, but it's straightforward, right? You got to hold yourself accountable for your answers. And to the extent that your life, your life varies from that which you hope to experience, wish to experience, it's up to you to do something about it.
That idea, does luck play into it, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. So there's no question that, you know, we confront luck in our lives. I think, however, that, you know, again, we kind of misperceive luck. We experience a reality in which luck is kind of far more simplistic than it truly is. I think we tend to want to believe that luck is either, you know, quote good or quote bad. The truth is far more nuanced and subtle. It's often up to us to determine whether luck is good or bad. I'll give you an example. I think going blind, I was, in the end of the day, I really believe I was lucky to go blind. I genuinely believe that. But similarly, you know, we think that there's a sort of neat and tidy distinction to be made between circumstances that are beyond our control, you know, and that which we do control. And again, I think the reality of life is far more nuanced, and there's a lot more sort of overlap and commingling there. We have a lot more impact over our circumstances than we think. But, you know, we all face awful circumstances and events in our lives. You know, you lose a job, you lose a loved one, end of a relationship, and, you know, talk about the really awful ones, you know, the military folks who, you know, lose a limb or, you know, suffer torture as a prisoner of war. And, you know, and yet, always there are people who have done more with less and been happier doing it, right? There's people who transcend, who thrive. And they might not put it exactly the way I, you know, put it in the book or think about it exactly the way that I do. But I can guarantee you, if you talk to those folks, every one of them, you know, views him or herself as, you know, as the master of his or her reality, the one in control. So it's not the circumstances that count. It's what we choose to make of those circumstances.
Isaac Lidsky is the author of the new book, Eyes Wide Open. It is published by Tarcher Peregi. Isaac, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.